Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading. Therefore, get your minds ready for action, being self-disciplined, and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you, the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Let's take a moment to establish our base, which is Jesus Christ. Make sure that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and humble before the authority of the Word of God. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we rejoice once again to come together to hear the word and to receive it with joy. We pray for our brothers and sisters who could not be here this morning. I pray for Al Dowdy, who injured his back at work, or his shoulders and back, attempting to lift a very heavy object. And apparently, those things are in your hands, Father. He's being taken to an emergency care facility by his wife, and we pray for his recovery. We pray for your son to be glorified through all of it, Father, and for their faith to grow through it. And so, Father, we present ourselves to you here this morning for receiving the instruction of the word, thankful for the fact that you provide all things for life and godliness, and you supply those things in your word. And so this morning, Father, we're learning about our identification with Christ and applying that and walking it out by faith on a daily basis. And so, Father, we pray for your spirit to be at work in each one of us, for your son to be glorified, for your children to be edified. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. All right. We're in Romans chapter 6 this morning. We dealt with the first 14 verses. It was supposed to be a review, but ended up being a whole new Bible class. And that happens frequently with me, I guess, or maybe with everybody. If you go where the Spirit leads and see that there's instruction necessary in different places that we go in the Scriptures, and different applications will come out. And so we're going to pick up our lesson right where we left off in chapter 6, verses 15 through 23, which deals with fruit, results, outcomes, the experiential realization of our faith. Now, as we discuss our identification with Christ in verses 1 through 14, that we died with him, we were buried with him by baptism into death, and we were raised to newness of life with him, now we are called upon to respond by faith once again. We responded by faith to the call when we were in Adam to trust in Christ, to understand his death, burial, and resurrection in terms of debt had been paid, and that we could freely receive the offer of eternal life by trusting in him. Now we're receiving another call as believers in Jesus Christ to still walk in the obedience of faith, but our obedience involves much more. It involves the experiential realization of who we are and what God has accomplished for us in Christ. So it still involves, it's still centered on the cross. It's still centered on what God the Father has accomplished. It's still centered on what the Holy Spirit is doing and will do to glorify the Son of God. Okay, and so fruit, results, outcomes. That's the vocabulary that we'll see in this text in verses 15 through 23. Fruit, results, outcomes. These deal with experiential realization. Okay, so let's read through the text again, and then we will evaluate it. Chapter 6 of the book of Romans, verse 15, what then? Should we continue? Should we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Absolutely not. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching to which you were handed over. And having been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. I'm using a human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you offered the parts of yourselves as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater lawlessness, so now offer them as slaves to righteousness, which results in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. So what fruit was produced then from the things you are now ashamed of? The outcome of those things is death. But now, since you have been set free from sin and have become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, all the way through that, we're going to see that this is an application of experience. Okay, an experiential realization, sanctification, the ongoing sanctification, the conforming to the image of the Son of God, the walking by faith. These are based upon our position in Christ. And we can walk those out because God the Father has identified us with Jesus Christ, as we talked about in the first hour, particularly Ephesians chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 6, where God the Father made us to sit in Him in the heavenly places. All that the Father accomplished for us in Christ, He accomplished it. We did not. We simply received the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness. Okay? So, following up from the three things we dealt with primarily in the first 14 verses, what we know about our identification with Christ, that we consider it to be true. Okay, and so verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all time, but the life He lives to God. Okay, and so we're dealing with gnosko, the experiential knowledge. We're also dealing with oida, the cognitive knowledge. Okay, and all of that should lead us to a consideration, an accounting, a reckoning of what is true about us. Okay, what reality is. Okay, and we talked much in the first hour about what conforms to reality. And if we're walking contrary to reality, then we ought to label ourselves and anybody else that walks contrary to reality, we ought to label them insane. Okay? And so if we understand, if we know who we are in Christ, then we can walk accordingly. Okay? But first, we must learn who we are in Christ, what we know. Then we must consider it to be true, accept it as true, reckon it to be so, account it as true. Okay? But that's not the last step. The last step is, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires, and do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness. But as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God, and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will not rule over you because you are not under the law, but under grace. And so that offering, that presentation, Paul picks it up again in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we are to present ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice. We are to, in that presentation, in the presenting of our members, one of those members is the mind, and we are presenting ourselves for the transformation by the renewing of our minds, okay? What we get out of that is we'll learn what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God, so that then we can discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God, and then we can walk in it, okay? So we're not left in the dark. We've been given instruction as to what the will of God is for our lives, but we are to present ourselves to learn it so we can apply it. Okay, this learning not only involves our daily abiding in the Word personally, but it also involves being obedient to the Scriptures in terms of presenting ourselves in the local assembly under the authority of a right-hand messenger to receive instruction, and that reception of instruction facilitates our own relationship with the Word, living and written. Okay, understand what that means? Facilitate. That means when we learn here on Sundays and Wednesdays, we are to go home and search the Scriptures to see if these things are so, and grow even more. Okay, we go over it again and again and again. Okay, because we're not going to get it the first time or the second time or the 50th time. Okay, might start to get somewhat of the picture about the 100th time. Okay. Hudson Taylor, on his, I think it was his 80th birthday, closed his Bible and proclaimed that he had just finished reading through the Bible 40 times in the last 40 years. Okay. So, how much did he get out of 40 years? Well, more than he got out of the first 30. or the first 20, okay? So year after year, day after day, we present ourselves, okay? What we receive here from this pulpit is to facilitate our further growth. All right. Offering ourselves as slaves, either in accordance with reality or contrary to reality. That's Romans 12, verses 1 through 21. I want you to turn there because we'll go beyond just those first two verses, okay? Because there's application right there of the things that we are to do. Okay, I mentioned in the first hour some difficulty with some other teachings that I had explored previously and some recognition that there was something lacking. Okay, it is not an application, it's not an understanding that we are puppets on a string, but rather we walk by faith. That's an obedience of faith. We are to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. And when we submit ourselves to receive the instruction of the word, to learn and to discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God, there are things we are told to do that please him and don't please him. It's a good idea to do the things that please him. That would make sense, right? That's according to reality, right? So, what are some of the things in scriptures? There's going to be more than just Romans chapter 12 for us to deal with, because the whole of the New Testament is dealing with things we are told not to do and to do. And we have to make a choice to reject one course of action and choose another. Okay? All right. So we read verses 1 and 2. Verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, okay, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Okay, so Paul is going to deal here with what we would call body life. Okay, how each one of the members of the body, that is the body of Christ or the body of a local assembly, how they work together. Okay, and one of the first applications to make is humility. Okay. Because you're not going to be able to work together if you're thinking highly of yourself, thinking you're the most important part of the body in whatever assembly you're part of, okay? As a matter of fact, what we think are the most highly esteemed members of the body, those are actually the servants, okay? Remember that we're supposed to give greater esteem to the baby toe or maybe some other parts of the body we don't want to mention on Sunday mornings, okay? All right. So, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Okay? This is humility. Okay? What's the difference between humility and humiliation? Humility is knowing your place. Humiliation is finding out your place is lower than you thought it was. Okay? So, don't think more highly than you should think about yourself. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. We're many parts, one body. Okay? And according to verse 6, the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. Okay? Many gifts, spiritual gifts that are mentioned there, and how we are to walk in those spiritual gifts, if that's the one that we see. We have, and we see the extraordinary grace enablement in that giftedness, that the Holy Spirit is at work, that Jesus Christ is being glorified, his children are being edified or provided for or built up and strengthened in the faith. Okay, and we begin to see that those are the realms of giftedness and service that we've been assigned, and we can start serving in them more fully. Okay, but in each one of those assignments, we're applying faith. God says to do this. God's showing me to do this. He's opening this door, closing all the others. So by faith, I'm going to trust him and walk in what he's put in front of me. Okay? So, notice that each one of these gifts, okay, is used in the context of serving the body. Okay? 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. Each one of us has received a gift and we're to use it in service to the body. Okay, my giving or my exhortation or my leading or showing mercy, okay, or teaching or whatever was given, the giftedness and the ministries were given to serve the body. Okay, What serves what's outside the body? What are we given to serve outside of this body? The gospel is what we've been given to serve outside this body. Okay? But we look to the household of the faith first. Okay? All right. Let love be without hypocrisy. Now, here's the definition of that. Okay? This is very important. Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Okay? So a genuine, unhypocritical love detests evil. Okay? So it's not loving to put up with or to accept somebody's insanity, whether it's a spiritual insanity or a bios life insanity. Okay? All right. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Okay? Philos storgos, I think, is the word here. It is a family affection that we have here. We're all members of one body. We're brothers and sisters with Christ. We have one Father, God. Okay? And so we are family. And we are to have affection for each other as a family. Take the lead in honoring one another. Do not lack diligence and zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. How many things are we told to do here? Okay? We're not told, wait for diligence to come through you. Wait for persistence in prayer to happen. But rather, be persistent. You're told what to do, walk in it. Okay? And you do so not as works of the law, but as faith hearing. You're told what to do, and a general command for the whole body, and we walk in it by faith. Okay? It's not magic, it's not mystical, it's not weird. It's just, here's what you do, and we go and walk by faith in doing it. We walk in obedience of faith in doing it. Okay? Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Did I skip rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction? Okay, there you go. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. So all of us are told up front, right, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to. And so if someone's not doing that, that's not the kind of person you want to associate with while they're in that kind of frame of mind, except to do what? Preach the gospel, tell them to get their eyes back on the pioneer and perfecter of their faith, back on the one that's supposed to have the preeminence in the local church, okay, rather than themselves. Okay. All right. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to what to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, "Vengeance belongs to me, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Now, keep in mind here, all that I just read, do not repay anyone evil for evil. If possible, so far as it depends on you, don't avenge yourself. All of that's in the context of body life. This is not those outside. This is within the congregation. Okay? These are commands for within the congregation. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That doesn't mean everyone's going to live at peace with you. Okay? But so far as it depends on you, in your humility, be a peacemaker. Okay? Don't avenge yourselves. Someone in the flock may do wrong to you, may hurt you. Okay? Well, your response to that is exactly, Paul echoes what Jesus taught here. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Okay? And you're heaping the discipline upon him that he or she will turn. Okay? Will return to the Lord. All right. So, a lot of things we're supposed to do and not do, right? So it's not magic. Okay? I don't want to read this as though, well, God will make sure that love is without hypocrisy. He detests evil, he clings to what is good. He'll make me love my brother or sister deeply, as brothers and sisters are supposed to. He'll take the lead through me in honoring one another, and so on and so on. Okay? These aren't passive, they're active. We're told to do these things or not do these things, and we walk in obedience to them or we don't. Okay? This is part of our presentation. Okay? And so we start out, verse 2, don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then verses 3 and following through 21 provide us with what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God that we're to walk in. And we're transformed not only by learning those things, but especially by doing them. That's the gnosko, that's the experiential knowledge. Okay, so that's the difference between perception, apprehension, and comprehension. Okay, we perceive, we take in information, we apprehend it, we understand it, we take it in for ourselves, and then we apply it, and we have a comprehensive knowledge, an experiential knowledge. Okay. And as we do so, our faith grows because we see the faithfulness of God. Okay, if we're not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to, then we're not looking at ourselves doing what we're supposed to do as lowly servants, right? Okay, we're not thinking of ourselves, wow, I'm doing really well today. Man, look at me. I'm making peace with everybody. Look at me. I'm blessing and not cursing. But rather, wow, it should be an attitude of humility that says, God is faithful. God is faithful. All right. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. I say then, walk by the Spirit, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. Okay? So do one thing and another thing will not happen. Okay? So how do we walk by means of the Spirit? Well, let's keep reading and we can discern how that happens. This is not mystical either. Okay? I say then, walk by means of the Spirit, you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So we have walked by means of the active, we're choosing to follow the Spirit, and the passive then is to be led by the Spirit. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay? Now the works of the flesh are obvious. That means when we're not walking by means of the Spirit and we are carrying out the desires of the flesh, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things. As I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, and let me insert comparing scripture with scripture so we don't lose our understanding of who we are in Christ. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. Okay. Doing these things is contrary to reality, of the reality of who we are in Jesus. Walking according to the flesh, the works of the flesh, if those things are occurring in our lives, it is contrary to the reality of who we are in Christ. Okay. Should we go on sinning so that grace may abound? Should we continue in sin? May it never be. Okay. All right. But, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Position, identification, and walking it out. Okay. Now, God the Father crucified us, the old man, in Christ. Okay. He crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. But we're told, on an experiential basis, to put the deeds of the flesh to death. That means we have to make the choice. We have to respond in faith and be obedient in our faith to do what we're told and see the fruit, the result, and the outcome. Okay. And glorify God. Now here's one of the keys here, okay? Verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, then this is za'o, this is eternal life. Okay, this isn't walking, this is an operation. If we live by the Spirit, Okay? Answer the question for yourself. If I live by the Spirit, yeah, I do. Okay? I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Okay? I trust in Him. I trusted in Him before. I'm still trusting in Him. I keep moving forward, no matter how many times I stumble and fall on my face. Okay? So, yes, I live by the Spirit. So, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Okay? And I think a better understanding of this, keep in step is fine, but I like to translate it this way. Let us walk according to the standard. Okay? This is a military term in terms of marching in step behind a leader. Okay? So, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk according to the standard of the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. That would be back to the works of the flesh. So, looking at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, what's the standard of the Spirit? If we're walking according to the standard of the Spirit, what standard is the Spirit leading us into? What is His standard? A little bit louder. Like Christ, the character and nature of Christ. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Those are all characteristics of Jesus Christ. And when the fruit of the Spirit is seen in our lives, it is because the character and nature of Jesus Christ is made manifest in us. Okay? So what's the standard? How do we learn the standard? Okay, the Spirit leads us into His standard, and we're to walk according to that standard. We're back again to Romans 12, 1 and 2, and transforming by the renewing of our minds. Okay, we have to learn what the standard is before we can walk in it, and then we'll see the extraordinary grace enablement. Okay. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thoughts. Okay? A command. There are going to be more here. Things that we're not supposed to do, things that we're supposed to do. Okay? We receive discipline if we do the things we're not supposed to do. Okay? We receive blessing and glory to Christ and edification for our brothers and sisters, encouragement from them or for them. Okay? All the blessings that go along with the obedience of faith. Okay? Again, I'll say, this is not works of the law. This is faith hearing. Okay? If we're told to do things and then also told not to do works of the law, okay, what is the difference? Works of the law are to earn and deserve. Okay? Faith hearing is because we didn't earn and we can't deserve. Faith hearing is because of the cross. Okay? And so that's why when we're getting our eyes off of Jesus Christ and on ourselves and we're getting discouraged in terms of, well, my performance is pretty shoddy lately. Okay, it's always going to be when your eyes are on yourself. Okay, the very fact that your performance would be anything is because your eyes are not on yourself but on Jesus Christ. They're not on yourself but on our triune God. Okay, you're walking by means of and being led by the Spirit. You're in the Word on a daily basis. Okay. And not only that, we think in terms of, well, I read my chapters today. Okay? Is that all? Check. Okay? Got the reading plan going, and you got those little boxes you can check off next to the reading for that day. You done? What does it mean to abide in the Word? I haven't forgotten to this day. Great lesson. Long ago, of course, I heard it secondhand, and I've applied it in my own life in terms of the things that I do. Ralph Braun said that the greatest insights he ever had in his study of the Word was not when he was in front of a Bible, but when he was riding his bicycle getting exercise around the neighborhood. Wow. Okay. So it's not just when you're actually in your time of reading, it is in your processing. Okay? So you're abiding in the Word. You should be abiding in the Word all day long. What did I read this morning? I can't remember. Somebody asked you, what did you learn in Bible class today? I don't know. It was good, though. Okay? You're contemplating it. You're meditating upon it. Okay? Psalm 119. Okay? It's constantly at the forefront of your thinking. All right. So, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. To take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted or is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of the truth. Do we need to read that again? And see, we're to take steps in confirmation of reality. We're to walk according to reality. Okay, so who am I in Christ? Well, who I am in Christ is a new creature. Okay? And so I should take off my former way of life on an active basis. Okay? I know that Zombie Dan, thank you, Robert, Zombie Dan is a dead thing in the grave, and I don't want to raise him up, pull him out of the grave, dig him up and stand him up and let him go. Okay? Or the illustration I used to use, there's a no good thing, it's a monster in a cage. Okay? I don't want to feed it. I don't want to play with it. Okay? I want to starve it to death. Leave it in the cage and starve it to death. Because every time I feed it, what happens? It starts to feel better, right? Get stronger, right? Okay? So, make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Don't feed the monster. Please don't feed the animals, right? At the zoo. All right. This is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of the truth. Walk in that self. Okay, that's the new seed, John, 1 John 3:9. That's the seed that does not sin because it cannot sin. Walk in that new self. Okay. Therefore, putting away lying, because it doesn't conform to the reality of who we are in Christ. Put away lying. Speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands, so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No worthless word should come from your mouth, but only what is good, what has worth, for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him. Eternal security right there. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you. Now here's a passive. Okay? Be removed from you along with all malice. Okay? And so when you're driving down I-35 or whatever street, for me it's probably 183. Okay? And all of a sudden you're shouting and yelling a bunch of slander and calling people names and all kinds of things. Maybe you stop and say, wait a minute, Lord. I know where that comes from. Remove it from me. Because you say, let it be removed. Remove it from me, Lord. And be kind. Okay? Instead, this is what should be the result. It's like arguing and complaining. Do all things without arguing or complaining. Okay, that's a command also in Philippians. Okay, so where does that arguing and complaining come from? My eyes are back on me, it's in the flesh, and it's all about me, and you just got in my way, right? Or I don't like what you're doing, or I don't like what you've given me, or I don't like whatever, just give me a roll of toilet paper, I'll make a list for you of what I don't like, okay? What's the opposite of that? What is being filled with the Spirit, passive again, be filled with the Spirit, okay? What is the result of that? Giving of thanks. So maybe the things that you were arguing and complaining about, now you ought to be giving thanks if you're walking by means of the Spirit. Okay? All right. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. What's the basis of our walk in love? The cross. Jesus laying down his life for his friends. Okay? That is the example and extent and meaning of walking in love. Okay? A sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you, as is proper, fitting for saints. Obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. Okay? And so I think obscene and foolish talking, crude joking, could also be understood here as wit. Okay? The kind of wit that tears down other people. Okay? That derives your self-worth from the cutting down of others, making fun of them, mocking them, that sort of thing. Okay? But rather, giving thanks. For no one recognized this, every sexual immoral and impure or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. Such were some of you. What's the reality? You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. Walk according to reality. It's not proper. It's not fitting for saints. Okay, verse 3, it's not proper for saints. All right. Back to Romans. Romans 6. The repeated question, what then? Should we sin? We see it in verse 1 and verse 15. Confronts the carnal and delusional mind of those who might consider living contrary to reality. Okay? Why don't we just go ahead and sin? It's a question, it's the kind of question we've seen before in Romans. If you go back to chapter 3 and verse 8, Romans chapter 3 and verse 8. And why not say, just as some people slanderously claim we say, let us do what is evil so that good may come. Their condemnation is deserved. The carnal and delusional mind wants to walk contrary to reality. Okay? Also, chapter 8 and verse 7. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. So when we're in the flesh, okay, when we're operating according to the flesh, okay, that mindset is a mindset that's contrary to reality. It is insane. Okay? And thank the Lord who grants repentance that we can get out of that mindset, that we can repent, we can be recipient, change our thinking, return, turn back. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Dealing with this carnal and delusional mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. For my part, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, pneumatikos, or pneumatikoi, the plural, but as people of the flesh, sarkikoi. Okay? You're operating according to the flesh. And then he says, as babies in Christ. Okay? So what's similar about people of the flesh and babies in Christ? They're not exactly the same. Okay? They're not equivalent here. Okay? Babies in Christ have not learned how to walk spiritually. Okay? 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. The born ones only know that their sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. But until they get to the stage of learning, being under teaching, okay, and knowing that they have a father, they start learning doctrine. Okay, are they able to start learning how to be spiritual? Okay. All right. This is why it's so important to recognize in terms of assurance of salvation, of the once saved, always saved, that phrase, okay, is that the Christian life is a life that must be learned. You don't come out of the womb and go get a job. Okay, we're speaking bios life now. Okay, you don't expect a baby to come out of the womb and go get a job. Okay, you don't tell the baby to go get a job. Okay, maybe you're around 15, 16, maybe it's time to tell them to go get a job, right? Okay, but they have to learn how to live life. So the Christian life is the same. It's still a life that must be learned. It's still a life that you have to be educated and learn how to walk it successfully. Okay? So, expecting a new believer to magically be sinless and perfect and not have any problems and automatically be spiritual and automatically have great faith, that's contrary to reality. It's insane. Okay? That's why when you're out there in the world and you preach the gospel and you make a disciple, where ought you bring them? We can start with here. Get them under teaching. As part of conforming to reality and coming under that transformation by the renewing of their mind, get them in here so they can be under teaching and start to facilitate their growth in Christ. Okay? That you're making them a learner, give them something to learn. Okay? Beyond what your capacity is to teach. Okay? That's why we have a right-hand messenger. That's why we have pastor teachers. Because they are designed and gifted by the Lord to teach. Okay? And educated. I'll add that too. Educated. They still need to learn and grow in their giftedness so that they can reach adulthood and operate in their giftedness. All right. So, I gave you milk to drink, verse 2. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not yet ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready because you are still fleshly. Okay? CSB here says worldly. I understand why they're doing that, because worldly and fleshly are related here. Okay? But the word is still fleshly. You're operating according to the flesh. You're operating according to the principles of this world. Okay? Since there is envy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and behaving like mere humans? Whenever someone says, I belong to Paul, this is the problem earlier in the text, 1 Corinthians. I belong to Paul, another, I belong to Apollos. Are you not acting like mere humans? Okay. Are you not thinking more highly of yourselves than you ought to? Okay. We have the benefit of the book of Romans chapter 12 to remind us of humility. Okay. It's hard to imagine, I guess, in the Spirit, walking by means of the Spirit, how someone can be looking at the cross and looking at the character and nature of Jesus Christ and not be humble. It's hard to imagine that. But man, when you're in the flesh, it makes perfect sense. Okay? Because the flesh is centered on self and says, I'm the awesome one. I'm the one with preeminence. Okay? All right. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. This is still looking at the carnal and delusional mind of those who might consider living contrary to reality. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. I'll start in verse 6, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Okay, look back at the paragraph before that to see what these things are. Therefore, do not become their partners. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let your walk be conformed to the reality of who you are in Christ. Okay? Don't walk in darkness with the rest of the folks in darkness. You were once there, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. Okay? 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. First John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. We understand the context here. The first four verses deal with the apostolic testimony, or we could call it the gospel. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we observed and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. That's Jesus, just in case you didn't know. Okay. What we have seen, and heard, we also declare to you, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? And so fellowship here, up here in verses 1 through 4, is based upon this kind of fellowship. This particular aspect of fellowship is based upon the acceptance of the apostles' testimony. Okay? So what's the body of the apostles' testimony that we have? It's a pop quiz, should be easy. Yeah, the whole New Testament. Okay, what's body of testimony that we have from the apostles and prophets? The whole of Scripture. Okay? So that's where we're getting our teaching. That's where we're getting our understanding. That's where we're growing in. Okay? We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light and there is absolutely no darkness in him. That's the reality of the character and nature of God. Light, no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, okay, then our walk is contrary to reality. Okay, we're making a claim, and the claim itself is contrary to the experiential reality. Okay, we have fellowship with him and yet we're clearly walking in darkness. We are lying and not practicing. We're not operating in the truth. Okay. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every or all sin. If we say, okay, we keep making claims here. People are making claims. Do they conform with reality or are they contrary to reality? Okay. And within that discernment, what's contrary to reality? What conforms to reality? We ought to see in here where the carnal and delusional mind comes in 1 John verses 5 through 10. Okay. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. And here I'm going to illustrate the connection with verse 6. Okay, the operating in truth. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not operating in us. Okay, that's reciprocal. We're not in the truth. The truth is not in us. We're not operating in the truth. And the truth is not operating in us. Okay? In order for the truth to be operating in us, where do our minds need to be? They need to be in the Word being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Okay. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay. So the claim is, if we do this, that will be the result. That's a basic third-class condition. Okay, even though this third-class condition is very interesting in terms of it presents a verb of being in the apodosis, the second half of the if-then statement. Okay, it presents the verb of being as who God is as to his character and nature. Okay, and if we do what we're told to do, doesn't mean we change God's character and nature. But we certainly enter back into his faithfulness, his righteousness, and the benefit of the cleansing and forgiveness. Okay, so if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous. He didn't stop being so. He didn't change, but we change toward him. Okay, and so when we return to him as the prodigal, okay, and we have a genuine attitude of repentance, recipiscence, a change of thinking, coming to our senses. Okay, this is not mechanical legalism where we just, oh yeah, I did that. Sorry about that. Okay. But rather, there's a genuine honesty, integrity, and humility before the Lord. That's where a homologeo comes from. That's where saying the same thing comes from. It comes from the homologos, being of the same mind. You have to be of the same mind before you can legitimately say the same thing. Okay. Homologeo is the verb, to say the same thing. Homologos is the noun, to be of the same mind. Okay. So, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, never stop being so, but we turned our backs on that faithfulness and righteousness. And because of who he is, his faithfulness and righteousness, he will forgive us and cleanse us. Okay. The two verbs, forgive and cleanse. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, that will be the result if we confess our sins. Okay. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay, and there you have the connection with not operating in truth, truth not operating in us, it's because his word, the truth, is not in us. Okay? So we've got folks making claims contrary to reality. I have fellowship with him, yet clearly they're not. They're walking in darkness. And we have promises. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship, us with God, okay? Fellowship with one another. That's me with God and the blood of God the Father. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, is right now presently cleansing us from all sin. Okay, this is a present verb. Present verbs don't always mean continuous action, okay, but rather they mean what's happening right now. That's pretty simple. Present verb, what's happening right now. So while we're walking in the light, we're receiving the cleansing. But also, if you notice, the forgiveness is not in verse 7, only the cleansing. Okay? So the remedial cleansing, the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ, you could say what's necessary in terms of the effects of sin, the consequences of sin, the stain of sin. That's the purification kind of cleansing that's occurring when we're walking in the light. Okay? All right. So making claims contrary to reality come from the carnal and delusional mind. Does that make sense? Okay? Now, back to Romans. Back to Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching to which you were handed over. And having been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. What's the pattern of teaching? I've been mentioning it throughout the morning. Okay? The pattern of teaching is the obedience of faith. Okay? It's not a kind of teaching. It's not this theology or that school of theology, but it's the obedience of faith. The pattern of teaching being the obedience of faith is mentioned in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5 and also in chapter 16 and verse 26. And then we'll go to 1 Peter. Okay? Romans 1:5. Context here being the greeting from Paul to the Romans. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was a descendant of David according to the flesh, and was appointed to be the powerful Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from resurrection of the dead. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the Gentiles. Okay? What is Paul calling us to? It's the same thing the Lord is calling us to, I mentioned before. There's always a call and an expectant response. Okay? Well, the Lord doesn't call for our faith in Jesus Christ to receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness and not expect us to respond. He doesn't teach us in the Word we're incapable of responding to him. Okay, neither as believers in Jesus, identified with Christ, position in Christ, does he expect us to fail to respond when we're walking by faith and receiving the instruction we receive in the Word. He does not want a disobedient response. But the obedient response that he's looking for is the obedience of faith. As you receive Christ Jesus, so walk in him. So when we respond in faith to what we're told to do as believers, to the will of God that we're supposed to discern what is good and pleasing and perfect, okay, then our faith works. It's put into action, and our faith is matured, completed by our works. Okay, we don't earn or deserve salvation by that, okay, but our faith matures by that. And our God is glorified, our Savior is glorified, and God's children are edified and built up and encouraged. Okay? That prodding of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Stir one another up to love and good works. Okay? All right. 16, chapter 16, verse 26. Romans 16, verse 26. Verse 25, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation about Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept silent for long ages, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures, according to the command of the eternal God to advance the obedience of faith among the Gentiles, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever. Amen. Now let's get into 1 Peter. I'll just take three verses here in 1 Peter, chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those chosen living as exiles dispersed abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient and to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that obedience, sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, I think is the entrance into eternal life. It's the reception of eternal life, or the receiving of the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness. Romans 5:17. Okay. Verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance, but as those but as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And verse 22. Since you have purified yourselves by your obedience to the truth. Somebody reading the NASB? Read it for me. No, the whole phrase there. Since you have purified yourselves. Mm-hmm. Okay. By your obedience, in your obedience. You have purified yourselves, okay? This is an ongoing, this is an obedience to the truth, this is walking in the light, okay? Since you have purified yourselves by your obedience to the truth, you did so first by receiving the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness. As you receive Christ Jesus, so continue to walk in him, obedience of faith, okay? And you purified yourself so that you show sincere brotherly love for each other. From a pure heart, love one another constantly. Okay. Are we given commands like this and not expected to be obedient to them? And if we know that our obedience is not a work of the law, then what is it? What Paul teaches is faith hearing. Okay. And what James teaches as being doers of the word, not hearers, who deceive themselves. Okay. We're not earning or deserving eternal life. Okay. And we're not keeping it. Okay. In terms of maybe a synergistic way of looking at things from other schools of theology that would say, well, if you're underwater and you don't keep your breather on, you'll die. Okay? Well, unfortunately, that analogy doesn't carry over to he made us to sit. Okay? Doesn't carry over to say that somehow I can lose my salvation. Okay? If I fail in my walk. But our whole lives are centered, or should be centered, around learning how to walk consistently. Okay, if we talk about the baby who doesn't come out of the womb ready to get a job on a bios life level, okay, or earthly life level, and we compare that to the spiritual life, that the babe in Christ doesn't come out of the spiritual womb being a mature Christian, okay, then there's a walk between here and there. There's growing up. And there are growing pains, and there are stumbles, and there are failures, okay? And learning is learning how to do it consistently, okay? And how many analogies can we put in there between bios life and spiritual life, okay? Maybe somebody who's 15 or 16 gets a job and doesn't know how to keep it, okay? So between the time he's 15 and 18, maybe he has 14 jobs, One after the other after the other. Either he quits or gets fired. He doesn't know how to hold a job, we would say. Okay? Well, eventually, somebody ought to learn, you know. Maybe there's really no difference. There's always some problem with every job, but maybe I should just try to do the best I can, work as unto the Lord, and deal with the problems as they come, you know, and hold a job. Okay? Well, in the spiritual life, connection there would be that we learn what the fruit, the result, and the outcome is of walking according to the flesh. We learn what kind of wreckage occurs when we fail to walk in the obedience of faith. And so we ought to figure it out eventually. You know, maybe we should stop doing that. And fewer stumbles ought to be the case. Okay? When Paul in Romans 7 is talking, he's not talking about physical stumbles. He's talking about mental stumbles. Okay? He's talking about the law provoking in him thinking. Okay? And then he can reject that thinking. That's the reality of the dichotomy of the Christian life that James teaches so well in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. That old sin nature, that no good thing, is always at work trying to carry away and entice. Okay? And if we've learned through experience and failure and wreckage what the fruit and result and outcome is, the goal would be eventually to learn to stop doing that, right? To stop doing what we're told not to do and start doing what we're told to do, okay? And see the fruit and the result and the outcome of that on a consistent basis, okay? All right, I'm out of time. So once again, we don't get to the end of this chapter. I've got a minute and a half. Let me review this real quickly, okay? Carnality and spirituality, as we're seeing in Romans chapter 6, are progressive. One thing leads to another, right? Fruit, result, outcome, one thing leads to another. That's carnality and spirituality. They're both progressive, okay? And through the verses that maybe eventually, the next time I'm at the pulpit, we'll pick up here, we'll be able to look at, will give us further insight into that in terms of particularly, we see the spirituality, okay, the fruit, the results, the outcome, but we need to pay attention to the fruit, result, and outcome of our carnality as well. The wreckage I just mentioned a few minutes ago, okay? How lawlessness leads to greater lawlessness. How wickedness leads to greater wickedness, okay? And the longer we walk in darkness, the longer we walk according to the flesh, the worse the mess gets. Okay? And the more stain there is from sin, and the more consequences, ongoing, lifelong consequences there can be. Like, think about David and Uriah and Bathsheba, the lifelong consequences of that sin, of the murder of Uriah and the adultery with Bathsheba, lifelong. Now, of course, he faced it in faith, those consequences, which is much better than the alternative. But there are consequences, okay? So carnality and spirituality are both progressive. The progressive nature of carnality and spirituality both include results and outcomes, as we've talked about. And carnality's result is shame, and the outcome is death, okay? We talk about operational death versus spiritual death versus other types of death, okay? Carnality's result for the believer is operational death. Turning our backs on the Lord, 1 John 1:9, before 1 John 1:9, okay? We're turning back toward the Lord in 1 John 1:9, okay? But the result there is operational death. We're operating contrary to the reality of who we are in Jesus Christ, and we're operating apart from God, okay? Spirituality's result is sanctification, and its outcome is the experiential realization of eternal life, okay? And that's where we'll see positional realities of sin, death, and righteousness in life have been explored in Romans 1 through 5, but the experiential realizations are revealed in Romans 6 through 8. Okay, and so we're looking throughout this, even up to verse 23 of Romans chapter 6. We're looking at experiential realization. Okay, The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the outcome. The outcome is eternal life. Okay, and so I'm not receiving eternal life. Use the easy passages to interpret the hard passages, and this isn't that hard. Okay, I'm not receiving eternal life as a reward for walking by faith. Okay, I'm receiving it as the outcome for a life of faith. It's something I already have as a present and permanent possession, but now I am walking in it, I'm living it, and I'm experiencing it. And my reality of who I am in Christ and all the gifts that go along with that become an experiential realization. Okay? So then we get to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Okay? And that's not the, substance? Okay? But that is actually a reality that becomes a realization. Okay? Faith is the realization. Okay? Only one Bible translation that I've seen, LEB. The Lexham English Bible translates that one. I think CSB does okay with reality, but it's a result. So it's a realization. Faith is the realization of the things that are hoped for. It is the evidence, the proof of the things that are not seen. It's how we experience what we already have in Christ, what's already been given to us by grace, the obedience of faith. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness, your mercy, love, and grace, and for all that you provide for us. Father, we pray for our shepherd as he continues his vacation and all the blessings of being with family up there in Washington. I pray for his safety, for the safety of the family and their return. And Father, I pray that we all are entrusting ourselves to the good shepherd, great shepherd, and chief shepherd over all. We thank you for this time together, a fellowship in your word, and for the edification that we receive, for your Spirit's ministry. And we pray, Father, for eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to continue understanding as we walk by means of the Spirit and grow in our experiential realization of these things. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' beautiful name, and all who love Jesus said, amen.